Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at this beautiful psalm that is written by, they say it's either David or Moses, but whoever has written, it's a very powerful reminder of God's faithfulness and goodness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy of not only knowing you, but the joy of experiencing your love each and every moment of our life. Lord, as we look at your scripture today, Father, we pray that you'll continue to enlighten our hearts, O God. We want to leave this place with a thankful heart, remembering your goodness, your mercy, because as David says, O God, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And so, Lord, we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. I think all of you would agree with me, you know, during this time of the year, particularly on this particular Sunday, right, you will receive quite a number of emails in your mailbox. It's just not only asking you for your support, but also thanking you, right? Thanking you for all the things that you have done. We give gifts during this season because we appreciate what the other person have done. So we want to show our love and also gratitude. So it's a wonderful time for us to be thankful. So, you know, when I was looking at this psalm, it's a very powerful psalm. Because when you look at Psalm 100, it is the only psalm in the 150 psalms that you will see the title Thanksgiving. And the more you look at that particular psalm, it's so powerful that you don't see any sadness in this particular psalm. You see, you know, the beat is more of a joy and gladness. You know, when the worship sings, you know, they lead us in songs, there's always some kind of rhythm. So the rhythm in this particular song, it's full of joy and gladness. You see a lot of excitement in this song. The tone is always more of an upbeat because of who God is and what God has been doing in the lives, not only the lives of the people, but I think in each and every thing, life. So it's a psalm that we know, it says, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we say thank you to you. But today when we look at the word thank you, it's a very common word, right? We use thank you quite often, right? It's in a culture like this, it's more or less, you know, it's a more polite everything, you know, when you go to the grocery shop, you say thank you, right? When someone gives you something, you say thank you. Probably you don't mean that, but you it's a more of a polite word that is always often used. But when I was looking at this word very carefully and trying to understand the history of this particular word, thank you, it's so powerful because in the 11th century, by the Anglo-Normans, you know, it was used as a word of courtesy because someone has done something to me, and so I say thank you. But in the earlier days, when you look at the Anglo-Saxon era, the word thank you know, that was how it started originating. You know, people don't simply say thank you. Before they say thank you, they think. They start thinking of what you have done. And then they come with good thoughts and say thank you, not only for what you have done, but it was also a way of blessing the person for what they have done in their lives. So it was so deep when they said thank you. It was not just a lip service. Because we teach our kids, right, to say thank you. And it has become more like a full stop to us or a comma to us. But in the Anglo-Saxon period, it was so powerful. You know, it was well thought of. It was good thoughts. And they come and say thank you because of what you have done. I really appreciate what you have done. And I want to pray for blessings in the life. I think that was the way thankful of the word thank was used in the Anglo-Saxon period. I think when you look at this psalm, David or Moses is also using the same kind of language here. When I was looking at the psalm, you know, I was, let me tell you, it was so powerful in this particular psalm because I was asking myself, what's happening here? You know, he says in the first verse, he says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Very interesting word. If you look into Hebrew text, you know, the word shout is you shout at the top of your voice, Right? When you say, hallelujah, hallelujah, that's the way you shout. So the way you shout is, it's, in other words, he's saying, make noise unto God. How many of you are Raptors fans? Wow, I say, when I say Raptors fan, I see even young ones putting their, oh, you're also Raptors fan. Oh, that's wonderful. I've not watched their games. But when they win, what happens? Not only McDonald's gives you a free fries, right? There's an uproar in the stadium. People will shout. There is joy. There's a lot of excitement. They will scream at the top of their voice because they have won. That's the kind of language it is used in the Hebrew text. You know, there is a joy. There is an excitement. You know, when people in the stadium, don't tell me they don't have problems in their life. They have problems. Right? Maybe some of them had difficulty to buy the ticket to come there, but they come. But when they shout, they forget everything that has taken place in their life. Their sadness, their worries, their anxiety, or what's happening to go happen next to me. And that's the kind of language the psalmist is using. You know, there's a joy. I'm just shouting. In other words, I make noises to God. When I was in the U.S., I loved to preach in black churches. Not that I don't like to preach in our GTA churches. In the black churches, one of the things my wife would attest to this is there's a lot of excitement. When you're preaching, one of the first time when I was preaching in a black church, I was invited. I was afraid because when I started preaching, you know, a few people started standing and saying, "Preach it, brother. Say it again. Hallelujah. Amen." I thought, what's happening? I thought the Holy Spirit has come into the church. That was the kind of excitement. When they see God's name mentioned, you know, people stand and they say, I also preached in a black church in GTA. I had another similar experience also. That's the kind of language he's saying. Not that the psalmist doesn't have problems in his life. There were events that were not so good. But even then, in the midst of all this, he says, Lord, I shout, I make noise to you because of the things that you have done in my life. Not only that, you know, you look at the word, the next word, it's so another word. And not only I shout, I make noise in the sight of God, but I serve. In other words, I'm so excited to serve God because what God has done in my life. Can you imagine? It's not just shouting. It's not just lip service. There's a response. He says, I serve the Lord with gladness. I'm excited. In other words, the psalmist says, I want to be active for God because it's my God. He's so active. He's so engaged in the sight of God. Not serving the church, not serving the pastor, but serving the Lord. There's a joy in gladness. You know, can you imagine that kind of excitement? You know, not only that, he doesn't even stop there. Look at the other word, right? If I move fast, you know, the next word, if you look at the word, he says, come before him with joyful hearts. You know, the psalmist is saying, hey, not only me, not only, I don't just want to contain the joy in my life, but come along with me. He's inviting, come along with me. And the first verse says, come along, right? He says, shout all joy, all people of the earth. In other words, he's inviting people and saying, no, come along with me and praise God with joyful songs for what God has done. I was asking myself, you know, what brought that kind of joy? What brought that kind of excitement? It's not the Raptors game here, right? I'm a soccer fan, so I don't really know much about Raptors. I ask myself, what's happening? Why? Is it something that's happening in his life? Today we shared because we saw God's goodness in our life. But let's look at the way, what brought excitement in the life of this writer of this particular psalm. Two words I want to see. Firstly, he says, you know, I'm shouting, I'm serving, I'm inviting people to sing along with me. You know why? Because he says, the Lord is God. He said, that's the reason, and that's the primary reason, that's the main focus, because God is my Lord and the Lord is God. And secondly, he says, the Lord is good. That's the main two reasons I praise God. The Lord is good. I just want to dwell in these two verses and then we will pray. Firstly, he says, you know, the Lord is good. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There are five commands here. In other words, if you look at the psalm very carefully, there are five imperatives. But I don't want to dwell on that five imperatives. I just want to dwell in these two key verses or words that the psalmist is using. He says, you know that the Lord is God. In other words, he says, the Lord is God. You look at the Greek Hebrew text, it is interesting. He says, he is the only God. In other words, there is no other God. He is the only supreme God. He is the only powerful God. All the other gods are pagans. They are not true. They are not real. My God is a true God, a genuine God, the Almighty God. And that's what he says. He says, my God is the Lord. I think that's so powerful. In other words, the psalmist sees God as his Savior, as his Lord. You know, if you and I have the Lord in our lives, let me tell you, that joy will be there. And that's what he's saying, you know. He doesn't talk about his circumstances. He's not talking about the blessings that he has received. That's not the top priority for him. He says, the Lord is God. In other words, there is no other God. It's only Jesus. It's only this God. Is true. Secondly, he also says that he made us. Right? In other words, he's saying, look at the word very carefully. When God made us, what he means is it doesn't mean that, you know, just God made us. Yes, we all of us know. But the true meaning of this particular word means, you know, God made us, I'm dependent on God. Without God, I can't do anything. I mean, I don't have anything in my life. I need God. And this God has made me, and I depend on him to live in this world, to be sustained in this world, to live a life for this world. And this God is a God who made me. And lastly, he also says that we are the sheep of his pasture. In other words, he's talking about the word sheep here. In other words, it means two things. Sheep in those days, you know, whenever you look at that particular word, you will realize they need guidance, they need protection. So the psalmist says, and this God is so powerful, not only he's God, he's the Lord, there is no one except him, right? And he is the one I depend on, and he's so wonderful that he guides me. He protects me like the true as a true shepherd. And so that's what he says, this, for who God is. When I was looking at this, I thought, you know, it would be a good time for us to reflect. Do I know about God? Do I know him? I think the word know here, it's a very interesting word. Whenever you see the word know God in the scriptures, always tell yourself, it talks about an intimate fellowship, relationship between God and us, a constant, continual walk that takes place. It's almost similar to the relationship between a husband and wife. That's the kind of relationship, you know, talking about knowing God. So today, as Christians, I think, as we look back the year past, right, we need to ask ourselves, do I know about God? Do I know him? Do I have that kind of relationship with this God who has saved me? I got baptized, but am I true to my baptism? It was the time I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do I know him more from the time I got baptized when I became a member of the church? How much do I know him? Do I know him more? It's good to know about God. And the same note, it's also good to have a relationship with him. How wonderful to know that God wants to have relationship with us. Secondly, you know, yes, we are His creature, right? We are His, so do I depend on Him? Because if we are His, we will depend on Him. If we don't think that we are His, we don't depend on Him, right? We think we can be self-sufficient. We can do things on our own. And that's what it means, that do I depend on Him? Do I trust Him to lead and guide me like the sheep that is always brought to a green pasture? Do I trust God? So the writer of this particular psalm says, you know, I just shout, and I shout at the top of my voice from the rooftop, because the Lord is God. Secondly, you know, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, he says, the Lord is good. Interesting. The Lord is good, right? So I was trying to dig into the passage to see what are the good things that God has done in the writer's, in the psalmist's life. But when he sees God's goodness, he doesn't just see, he doesn't really look at the blessings that God has given to him. Maybe God has healed him. God has given him success. God has given him strength, right? In war, victory over wars and all that. Maybe God has done so many wonderful things in his life. But he sees, he says, God is good. Not because God has changed my circumstances in life or has given a new blessing in my life, but he sees God as good in a different way altogether. Look at the word very carefully. It's an interesting way that he's looking. He says, God is good. In other words, God is good. God is always good. He's always good, and he does always good things. If it's a difficulty in my life, if it's not self-inflicted, you know, God means well for my life. Like the way we read in 1 John, right? If God disciplines me, God is good, and he does it with a purpose. God is good, even though I go through a difficult time. Right? As I shared with you, 2 months I was having this difficult pain, this pain in my body. But I didn't complain, because I know God is good. God is good. That's the thing, that's what the psalmist is saying. Yes, there were successes in his life. He says, God is good. There were difficult moments in his life. He says, God is good. Because God has allowed it. God has allowed certain things. Even I'm faithful to God, God allows certain things in my life. And he says, God is good. Because God always is good. He can't do bad things in our life, my friend. If God does something, it's always meant to be good. And secondly, he also says, God is unchanging, right? His love endures forever. Very interesting word in the Hebrew text. It means that he doesn't change. Today, the weather changes. They will say there's going to be snow, but then we realize there might not be snow. Right? It changes. But the way he uses the word, he is saying that God is not like the weather who changes. Very unpredictable. This God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his promises. This God is always true yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. I think, lastly, he says, no, God is so faithful. That's why he says, throughout all generation, not only your generation, in the generation that passed, God was also faithful to them. The generation that's going to come, God is going to be faithful to them. You know, any generation, God is going to be faithful throughout all generation. In other words, he's saying, because of that, I can trust him. I can depend on him. God is good. He allows certain things because he means well for my life. He knows that I need to draw closer to him. I need to come to him. And he's unchanging. It doesn't mean that he loves me less or loves me more. He's constant in his love towards me. He's faithful, and because throughout all generations, the past generation, the previous generation, whatever generation, God is so dependable and we can trust Him. So when he looks at his life, that's how he sees God is good. God is allowed, and God can be trusted even in the most difficult moments in our life. Dear friends, we do not know what the new year is going to be for all of us, right? We do not know what's going to be happening. But one thing is for sure, when we draw close to God, doesn't mean that, you will always be blessed. You might go through a difficult time, right? You might have difficulties in your life, struggles in your life. But when we have a constant walk with God, be assured that God is good. And that's what the psalm is saying. And God will not change. His love is always constant. Even though you're going through the valley of darkness, the Lord says, my love for you will not change. And He's faithful. I thought it would be good for us, right? But now before we close this year, if you feel that that you want God to help you in the coming year, and you want to ask God to say, Lord, I just want you. And help me, Lord, help me to reaffirm my faith in you. I want to, draw close to you. Whatever is going to happen, O God, let me know that you are going to be good. You will be unchanging. You will be unfaithful. You will be faithful in my life. And so, I want to pray, I thought it's an important time, if some of you feel that, Pastor, I need prayer. I want to step into this new year. You can come to forward, and I want to just lay hands on you and pray for you, right? I know we don't do this in our church, but feel free if you feel that you want maybe something that is happening in your life, or something that you want to see happen in your life in the coming year. Just come, or maybe I just need prayer. Please come, and stand, and I want to pray for you. And the others can be in the prayerful mood. I think I'll invite my wife to join me. I'll lay hands on you and pray for you, right? Whatever is happening, you need not share with me. I think God knows. You can sit down, please. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, sit down. If you feel you want God to work in your life, and God knows what's happening. There might be something that you've been struggling or praying for, and I want to pray for you.